Wow, we got a big group tonight. Amen. It's always encouraging to see the men. All the men together. And talk about things that men need to talk about.
Amen.
We don't have to hold back. Mike, if you would stand and pray for us, please.
Amen.
Let's pray.
Dear God, thank you so much, Father, for this gathering of the men.
Amen.
God, you've called us, God, to lead and love the church, dear God.
Amen.
God, I just pray, God, that tonight, Father, that you will pour out your spirit.
Amen.
God, on the speaker, on each and every individual within the sound of my voice. Dear God, that we can learn, Father, that we can grow. And grow closer and closer to you.
Amen.
Father, I pray that your word will speak clear tonight to us, God. And God, that we will receive it, God, and change the things, God, that are necessary to become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We love you so much. We thank you so much for all that you do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to ask you to do something tonight that you might not feel like doing on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
That's think. I've endeared the crowd already. There you go. No, we really are going to need to think tonight in some different ways that we're not comfortable with. And there really is a challenge on Thursday night in listening to a speaker. If you've been in school all day, if you've been at home all day, if you've been at work all day, whatever, sometimes it can be hard to focus on a Thursday evening. I understand that because I sit over on that side. There's times I come in on Thursday night, I'm just tired. But please overcome that. I want you to turn to Ephesians 1.
Amen.
We're going to look at some very encouraging scriptures. Then we're going to look at some other scriptures that will challenge us a little bit, but they're tied together in a way that maybe you haven't looked at in a while. In Ephesians chapter 1, we'll start in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. That is deep.
Yes.
The impact and the import of what is being said in these scriptures, if you ponder it, is so meaningful. It is so encouraging to us. And I want you to just keep this floating in the back of your head as we move forward in looking at another scripture. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. In Ephesians 4 verse 1, this should be also very familiar to you. Paul says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." Live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Have you ever thought about living to be worthy of what we just read about in Ephesians 1?
Wow.
I mean, when you have a calling, what does that mean? In this instance, Paul is referring to a calling that we have received. And I believe he's looking back to what he spoke about in chapter 1. But in the Greek, it has another inference. It's talking about an invitation to a feast. You've been invited to a feast.
Amen. Come
on. A heavenly banquet. That is your calling. That's the calling that is referred to. Living a life worthy of having been chosen to be given an invitation to such a feast. Does that make sense?
Yes.
It is an honor. The calling is your divine invitation to embrace the salvation of God. A divine invitation. Each one of us who is a disciple received at one point in our lives, didn't we?
Yep.
That's incredible. Each one of us had that invitation to receive the forgiveness of our sins, to have the hope of an eternal life, to have the hope of seeing the face of God,
amen,
to be in His presence, to live that eternal life. That's amazing.
Amen.
To be able to fulfill the very purpose for which we were created.
Amen.
To be children of God. Each of us who claim Jesus as our Lord and Master was called to follow. Each of us received our own personal invitation. It wasn't a blanket invitation.
Wow.
Do you understand how personal this is? It's a very personal thing. Jesus called us the same way He called the first disciple to follow Him. Personally, He reached to you and said, "Follow me." Have you thought about that lately? That you had a very personal calling. Turn to Matthew 11. And let's look at verse 28. Now I hope you're kind of sticking with me where I'm going. Living a life worthy is the name of our lesson tonight. What we want to look at is living a worthy life.
Yeah.
But to understand that worthy life, that worthy of the calling, you need to have a clear understanding of what the calling is. Mm-hmm. And if there's any stipulations on it. In Matthew 11:28, he clarifies this call in other ways. It's interesting, we don't talk about this scripture enough. I don't feel. As far as being a disciple. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Amen.
Amen.
This is discipleship, isn't it? You were called individually by Jesus in this manner. Each having this personal invitation, do you remember when you were called? Do you remember your first invitation? It was a process, wasn't it? It was a process, and sometimes it's hard to remember back to the very beginning of the process where you were invited to follow Jesus. But I think that we need to reflect on that. It was very personal. Each one of us had our own journey with that. It was all about me. I can remember back. It was all about me and God in this invitation.
Yep.
It was me wrestling with, am I going to take His yoke? Am I going to carry His burden? Am I going to relinquish my burden? Am I going to make this trip? I had to be educated to follow.
Come on.
I had to get into the Scriptures.
Amen.
I mean, it's interesting. This Scripture says, learn from me.
Right.
How are you going to learn? You've got to get into His Word.
Amen. Right.
To be able to follow.
Right.
That's being a disciple, a student. Learn from me. I had to think about where I was spiritually to follow Him. I had to start getting, you know, I had this feeling of being very dissatisfied in my life. I was unhappy. I knew that the things I were doing were wrong. I didn't see how to escape from the things I was doing. And so it just seemed, in a sense, that it was quite normal. I wasn't happy with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
I felt, I wouldn't recognize it as enslavement, but I couldn't change the way I wanted to change. There were certain things that I just couldn't stop doing. And that's what convinced me that something was wrong with this life as I was living it. And until I really started looking at the Scripture with fresh set of eyes, not from the religious background that I had, but really from a need, from looking at the Scripture where Jesus is saying, come to me. That I started realizing just how bad things were. That I was burdened. Mm-hmm. I was weary with my life.
Wow.
Did you feel that way? When you were being invited, did you come to the realization at some point that you're just tired of it?
Mm-hmm.
The way you were living it, that you're tired of what was going on, that you'd had enough?
Come on, brother. Man. Come on.
Come on.
Jesus asked you to throw that stuff off. Drop that burden. Lay it down. We even sing songs like that, right?
That's right.
Lay it down. He asked us to throw it off and trade it for His yoke. What is a yoke? We don't normally talk about agricultural stuff, do we? And if we do, it's more like caterpillar, right? We're using machinery. What is a yoke?
It's a man.
Go ahead.
It's two animals together, in the case of an ox, the same, going the same direction.
Right. It actually is a device that goes around the neck of a beast, either an oxen or a horse. Maybe a mule. And what it does is it spreads the load evenly so that a burden can be pulled without straining the animal. It makes it more efficient. It makes it an easier thing for the animal to accomplish. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Put it on. I want you to imagine, as men, we put it on another beast and say, you're going to pull my load. And Jesus is saying, take my yoke and put it on you.
Wow.
Throw off the what you're carrying now because you're sick of it, you're weary of it.
Come on.
And put my yoke on. And what does He say? My burden is what?
Light.
Light. Sounds like a good trade, right? And you will find rest for your souls. This is the calling we received. And that is an exciting calling. That Jesus and God had this plan before the world was created. The universe was spoken into being. He already decided this is the way it was going to be. It pleased Him to know you before you were born, before your parents were born, that you were selected to be called into a relationship with Him.
Amen. Amen.
Does that not fire you
Amen.
Up?
Amen.
That is an amazing thought that everyone deserves this invitation. It's an open invitation. But the question is, are you living a life that's worthy of that? You're following Jesus. You had that invitation. You said, I accept your yoke. I will pull the burden that you are going to put on me. I trust in you. Have you removed the yoke? Are you still worthy of that calling? I'm going to upset you with some scriptures and looking at it a different way. Turn to Luke 9, verse 23 through 25. If you don't recognize that, you make me nervous. In Luke 9, verses 23 through 25, he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Now turn over to Matthew 10. And let's look at a companion verse in verse 37 through 39. We see something in a positive or an affirmation statement, and we see it in a negative. In chapter 10 of Matthew 37 through 39, he says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Not worthy of Jesus. Jesus' own words is that you're not worthy of me if. Have you thought of that lately? These are classic call to discipleship scriptures, are they not?
Yeah.
We use this in studying with people all the time. We study with them who are not yet disciples to help them understand what being a Christian really is, as opposed to what the watered down religious culture says it is. These are hard teachings. These are Jesus' own words about following Him. Tonight we can certainly ask ourselves, am I a disciple? Am I in Christ? And we ask people after reading these things, are you really a disciple?
Come on, bro.
And we should be able to say, yes, no. And then make up our minds what we're going to do about that.
Amen.
Right? That's what we call people from doing that. And certainly, if you're here tonight and you haven't studied these things before, this is the question. Are you a disciple? Are you not? Because these are statements. You're not worthy of me. Boom. 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 Not worthy means you're not my servant. You're not a part of me. And you go, wow. But that's a yes or no. But I also want you to ask yourself, am I living a life worthy of the calling? Or am I making choices that Jesus say make me unworthy of Him? You see, The danger in our culture is this: once saved, always saved. I'm not trying to threaten your belief in your grace or any of that. What I'm talking about is there's certain choices that we make that can make us ultimately unworthy of Jesus. And you need to be aware of that and consider it daily in your walk with the Lord.
That's right. That's true.
So it's healthy to consider, am I living a life worthy of this great and gracious calling I've been given? These gifts, this appointment, this opportunity to be a child of God, how am I living understanding this?
Come on.
Have you ever considered that your life choices may make you unworthy of Jesus?
Wow.
It sounds strange. Unworthy of Jesus. In our culture today, it can't conceive that there's choices that we make and things that we do or things that we choose not to do that can actually make them unworthy of Jesus. Because there's this idea that forgiveness is blanket, regardless of how you live. I don't know about you, but there's something I hear at work all the time. And, you know, they're saying that it applies to work, but come on, I know they're saying it's everywhere. Have you ever heard this? Do it now and ask forgiveness later.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time at work. Don't go to your boss and get permission. Do it and then just say, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I didn't think to ask you. How do you think they're treating Jesus? I can always be forgiven. You see where I'm coming from? Is that worthy?
No.
If you study the Gospels, they say it time and again, you can be unworthy of Jesus and His calling. Jesus has standards. Hey, if you didn't want to follow Him, He left you. He kept walking. Follow me. Oh, you still there? He did that. Which way are you going, Master? We'd like to stick with you. Turn to Matthew 7. And verse 21.
That's awesome.
Come on, bro.
You don't believe that Jesus has standards? Let me challenge that. If you haven't looked at these scriptures before, I want to unsettle you a little bit. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers! There are plenty of people that call on the name of the Lord. They use His name. That go to church on Sunday. That are not worthy of Jesus because how they live. And Jesus doesn't know them. He doesn't count them as followers. This is frightening.
Yes.
Because the world says there's no standards. There's no standards in following Jesus. But the Bible and Jesus says there are standards.
Right.
And what I want, brothers, is for you not to be tricked by this world.
Amen.
Come on. The people around you, the religious talk, and to lower something down here to where you inadvertently, slowly drift away to the point where you're not worthy. When we look at this situation of worthy or not worthy, let's take a fresh look at Luke 9, verses 23 through 25. Let's discuss this. What does deny self mean? And I'm open to your feedback. What does that mean? We study this with people. What do we tell them? What are we telling them? Give up.
To give up.
Give up self?
Self.
Excellent, yes.
Give up temptation.
Give up temptation? Right.
Resist temptation.
Resist temptation? Yes.
Not doing your will, but God's will and Jesus' will.
Okay. Anyone else? Jeff?
I think, I guess, a lot of times, to follow Jesus, we've got to be willing to say no to ourselves. Because there's going to be decisions we make where sometimes the answer is no. And most of the time, we're trained in our culture or other people we're around to always say, yeah, I deserve that, or yes, I need that, or, I want that.
We have our own will. That's a great comment. We have our own will. We have our own desires. We have things that we want our way. And we're being called to deny that, to follow. Sometimes those desires and wants are at odds with what Christ wants us to do.
That's right.
That's a great point. Who else had someone? Yes.
Deny is don't exist anymore. For instance, if I say I deny myself of the pen, I get it off the pen. So it doesn't exist anymore. So that's what it means to me.
Amen. Yes.
I think more or less he's talking about when you're talking about denying yourself, it's not about you no more. It's about God and other people. Because you have to serve other people and in order for people to see God. So in order to serve other people, you can't think of yourself at all. Serving has no thought of itself. He has to think of his master and other people. That's what I think he's saying.
Okay, Richard?
I think it's also saying it's really just doing what God says. Not what I want to do, but what he says.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, well, let's look further into this verse. What does it mean when he says, take up your cross daily? How do I take up a cross?
Again, just thinking about your own sins, your pet sins. You know what they are? See, moderate, whatever it might be, that you make the conscious decision every day to not do that. So you're putting them on the cross.
Okay. Someone over here? Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, I think it means that every day you have to sacrifice your own will for the sake of one that you want to follow. So it has to be a new decision all the time, over and over. You know, every time you wake up, it's, you know, you start over, it's constant. It's not a one-time decision, it's an everyday decision.
That's right. Campus, yes.
To me, it means being ready to die for Jesus every day. Following him, pointing to his death, stand up for him, and then dying.
Okay.
It doesn't really mean anything there, but. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It means on a day to day basis, defending Jesus, defending the faith, because even though we don't get persecuted like that, there are plenty of people that don't believe in God, or they have alternate beliefs, and they're trying to convince people to do their thing. Or, you know, they claim to follow Jesus, but they live hypocritical lives, you know. And you know, they're a bad example of Jesus to everybody else. So that's what it means to me.
Let hang on 1 second, guys, and I'll get back to you. Let me throw out something to kind of broaden your thinking, maybe. In taking up your cross, sometimes it can be the circumstances that you're in. What do I mean by that? You came to know Christ and you were poor. You're uneducated. You're rich. You were educated. Whatever, sir, you're in debt. You have no debt. Whatever circumstance you come into knowing Christ and you're following him, there are parts of that circumstance that you have to take up and follow him even though there are obstacles. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They're not. They can't be an excuse that keep you from following. There's other scriptures in the gospel that talk about it. I just got married.
Come on.
I can't do this now.
Come on.
Oh, I just got this new business. I just got these oxen. I just got blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
I can't do this now, but I'll do it later.
Mm-hmm.
And taking up your cross daily is doing the best and falling from where you're at right now.
That's
right.
If you've been chemically dependent, or are now, wherever you're at right now,
yep.
It is moving from there, setting these burdens, as Jesus says, aside and following as best you can in the circumstance you are while trying to get these circumstances dealt with. That's part of taking up your cross to me. See?
Yeah, when we think about Jesus, obviously is foreshadowing what he did. He died on the cross. And I think, you know, I want to draw a line. You know, I'm going to give this much and stop. I'll sacrifice this much and stop. I'll help a person this much and stop. Whatever it is. But I think when Jesus says, take up your cross daily, he's taking that away. Mm-hmm. I mean, he went all the way to the cross for me. So I can't draw a line. If he wants me to do something, if he wants me to help somebody, I can't draw a line. I don't have any way to do that.
No limits. Well, that's challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to build on what Steve just said, you know, Jesus said, you know, the great commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, he calls us to be holy, to be sanctified, that we don't love the world and love God. You know, we can't be 99% God and 1% the world. You know, there can be no line, even no matter where you draw it.
What does he say? Let's hold this and move to get your comments on another aspect, okay? He goes on and says, losing your life to save it. What is he talking about? I mean, we're really breaking this down. What in the world is you lose your life to save it? Yes?
It's kind of the opposite message of the world, which is, you know, it's all about you. But it's the real truth of it is the opposite. The more you give of yourself and lose yourself, and it's not about you, it's about Jesus, the more you find what true life is and what you were made for.
You know, part of the thought that as I'm thinking about this is that when he calls us to take on his yoke, he's asking us to throw off that stuff that we were pulling ourselves, yeah. That we loaded ourselves up with on our own, that we just couldn't bear.
So,
yes?
I believe this is talking about surrender. We have to surrender our desires, we have to surrender our wants, whatever our goals are, we have to surrender them to God.
Okay. Rick?
Kind of like what you said, lose our life, lose our old life, our worldly life that we're living in right now, and surrender to God to save our lives, save our souls for eternity.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut it off right here. But these have been great comments. I want to ask you to judge for yourselves. As we break down this scripture, worthy, unworthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just read standards, did we not?
Yeah.
Yep. Worthy, unworthy. It's better for us to judge ourselves by the standard than to have Jesus use the standard and judge us. Is it not?
That's right.
You can still have the opportunity to change.
Amen.
Right now. Let's look at some other scriptural admonishments. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. We're going to look at some different aspects of living worthy, okay? Because this is in the Bible a lot more than probably you've looked at before. Colossians 1:10. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You see, when you have received a great calling, a personal invitation to enjoy the feast,
yep.
To have salvation, These are the responses, the natural responses of being selected for that. You did nothing to deserve the invitation.
That's right.
There wasn't anything special about us when we received the invitation. And so what you constantly see are the apostles saying, we pray that you will live a life worthy. It's like, please understand how incredible this gift is.
Yeah.
This calling to be pulled out of the world. Do you get it?
Yep.
And so in response, please him. Bear fruit. Work. Grow in the knowledge. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 11 through 12, he says, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. A consistent message in the scripture. 2 Thessalonians verses 1, chapter 1, verse 5. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering.
Amen.
And finally, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. These are powerful scriptures where the apostles are pleading and begging and praying that we will live lives worthy of the gift, the calling, the invitation to follow Jesus. Are you living a life worthy of the call? That is the question tonight. That is where we'll leave it tonight. Let's pray.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, it is amazing the invitation that you've given us to be disciples of Jesus. Father, the blessings that you've heaped upon us.
That's right.
Father, the load that you've taken away from us, the burdens you've relieved us from, the bondage that you've released us from, Father, we praise you for that and thank you. Father, I pray that we will have a deeper understanding of the precious gift in this life that you've given us to be called by Jesus to follow him. Father, to be forgiven of our sins, to have eternal life, to have a hope of heaven, and to see your glory one day. Father, thank you for that, and I do pray that we will choose to live a life worthy of you.
Amen.
Father, that every day we will reflect that we have choices to make in following, that we will take up that cross, that we will deny ourselves, and we will follow you. Father, help us in our journey. We need the Holy Spirit within us to encourage us. We need each other desperately to help each other in our walk with you. Father, thank you for your wisdom in putting us in a fellowship. And I pray that you will help us to be encouragement to each other, to help us overcome the sin that we get entangled into, to cast it off so that we will be counted worthy. Father, I pray that you will help us to live this life as you intended. Father, having an easy yoke. Father, to have peace in our lives. Help us to fully experience what you desire for us. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.